whether you had any incentive to really press on in God, you would get your incentive tonight. Because this is the reason why we are hurrying. This is the reason why we feel that this time is greater, or if you want to call it worse, than any other time, and that people need to move and do what they've got to do, because we are in the fourth seal. You ready, babe? You ready? Praise the Lord. Yes. So I want to talk to you about the fourth seal. Turn your Bibles with me first to Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. And let's read from the 24th verse. And this verse speaks of what will happen in the fourth seal. This chapter, I should say. 24, verse 24, Matthew 13. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went their way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while we gather up the tares, we root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together unto the day of harvest, and in the time, I want you to notice, in the time, harvest is a period of time. It's not a day. It is a period of time. And in the time of harvest, I will say unto the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and then bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Okay, let's see the explanation of Jesus Christ now. Verse 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, and the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this age. Anybody's got another translation there with you? Any other translation in the room beside King James? Okay. So it's not really the end of the world, it's the end of this age. The Son of God, man, shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Now, let's analyze what we have heard. We hear that at the end of time, a few things are going to happen. First of all, tares will be gathered into bundles. And the tares that are being gathered into bundles in our time is the many, many different organizations and different things that people are gathering and giving themselves to and giving their time to. This is the tares being gathered into bundles. You have a denominational bundle over here and another denominational bundle over here. This bundle over here is against that bundle over here, and that one is against that one. And you have the bundles, some join different societies, some are involved in different carrying on. Everybody has a thing. You see, and these are the involvements that God is talking about. The spirits, the different spirits that are fighting on this plane are gathering people into their different orders. But all of them are being gathered for fire. I want you to notice first that the tares were gathered first for the fire. There was no rapture in this chapter. Nobody was caught up and taken away and
live in heavenly bliss while God burn up the earth. Nothing of the kind. That they were gathered and burnt in fire, and the righteous was shining forth in the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to see that. Then the angels, of course, he said the angels are messengers. I am an angel, a messenger. Many times the scripture said angel, all it means just a minister, a messenger. So there are messengers that are gathering people into different bundles. And some are being gathered for God and some are being gathered for fire. Now you need to know now what bundle you are in, where your bundle is heading for. Because we understand that some right people are going to be in some wrong bundles. Yeah? You know that, don't you? That the scripture says, if you don't come out, you're going to get caught in the wrong bundles and burnt. Of course, it didn't say you will lose your soul, but you will be burnt nevertheless. You will lose a lot. Have a lot to lose. So praise be to God. We understand, therefore, what Jesus is saying about this field. Let's go on to Revelation then, chapter 6. And remember, we're going to have a lively discussion. We want you to ask all the questions. Anything that doesn't seem relevant or right, you just come right out with it, because this is the way we fellowship. Praise God. Everybody is welcome to say something and to give us your thought. Now, here we are. In chapter 6, we find that four horses came out. Revelation chapter 6. Verse 2 says, and I saw a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow, crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. The first seal was a white horse. Seal number 1, white horse. Jesus comes forth with the gospel of Christ. No doubt about that. Second seal, and I saw, and behold, verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the beast say, come and see, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. The next horse that came out was red. War. One word can describe the red horse. It is war. We've been having wars just going on and on and on for several, many, many years. All right. The next horse was the fifth verse. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard third beast say, come and see. And beheld a black horse, he that sat on him, and a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny, see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And the second one was, the third one was black. And this showed dark. Spiritual darkness, you know, spiritual darkness, not physical darkness, but people's minds are so benighted, I mean, that there are some people worshiping the devil and say it's God. Any of you ever heard that line? They say, how do you know that the person you're worshiping as God is not the devil and the one you call the devil is not God? I mean, people are so dark. It's a total darkness, and this darkness has chiefly been caused by the church and the deceptions that the church has been deceiving the people to get rich and to get money and so on. Right down the ages, the truth had never been let loose. So darkness covers the land and grows darkness, the people. And of course, the selling in the midst of the darkness, buying and selling until they buy and sell the souls of men. And the oil and the wine, the Holy Ghost and everything. And
voice is part of the darkness. Now verse 7. Open the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And he, his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Praise God. Now, this is what we're going to talk about. The fourth seal, and it was what horse?
Pale.
Pale horse. Now, and this pale horse is death, hell, hunger, etc. And this is where we're heading right now. We have heard the reports from our agricultural experts, and we have heard the gloomy pictures, and many people say, oh, that won't ever happen. Well, these are natural men that tell you that this is what they see happening. Now, I'm telling you from God's point of view what God says is to happen under the fourth seal. Now, how can we identify it? We don't want to be alarmists. We don't want to run off and say, well, this is the fourth seal. We want to know it is the fourth seal. Amen? We want to know it is the fourth seal. So, let's turn our Bibles around to Zechariah. Notice it's Zechariah 6 and Revelation 6. And he saw the horses turned around, but it's the same horses. And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out four chariots out from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass. In the first chariot were red horses, and in the second chariot black horses, and in the third chariot white horses, and in the fourth chariot grizzled and bay horses, that's the pale horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens before the Lord. The four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of the earth. Now, let me write that down here. Four spirits of the heavens. I want you to take note of that, because we're going to see something about that. The four spirits of the heavens that go stand before the Lord of all the earth. The black horses which are therein go forth into the north country, and they and the white go forth after them, and the grizzled go forth towards the south country. I want you to notice that. Come. The black horses go where?
Russia.
Can use Russia as a north country. Many other north countries, but you know what I mean. Just use Russia as representing them all. Where did the other horses go? The north country, and the white go forth after them. The white, therefore, went after Russia, after that. And I'll tell you why. If the white didn't go after him, there would be no Christianity left in Russia tonight, because they had completely blotted it out. The next one was what? The grizzled go forth toward the south country, and the bay went forth and sought to go to and fro through the whole earth. You see. Now, where are we now? The bay would be what? The red?
Pale.
No, the bay would be the pale, the grizzled would be the red. No, I am not too familiar with colors. All right. Anyhow, this one went south. And this one is Middle East. That's where the war is being stirred up. And this one walk through and through. So this horse here is the most dangerous because he compasses the whole thing. See what I mean? It's a picture I'm showing you, and I want you to get it. We are trying to identify our time. You see? Each of these horses came out at a special time. Jesus came forth with the gospel. After him, wars and rumors of wars all over the world. The world has just been mixed up with wars ever since. And then here comes in this horrible, damnable, blasphemous doctrine of communism and atheism from Russia. And now all our colleges, seem to take on the nature of that doctrine which was preached in Russia against God. You see, it is almost a crime for a learned man to be a Christian. Your country is a little different from other countries, but in other countries you couldn't hold certain positions in government or in the city and still be involved in a Christian group like this, for instance. You couldn't, you see. You'd have to probably go to the big high church or something like that. But it is a darkness that has not, it's spreading out of Russia. Then now, you see what's happening? All these horses are running together. It's not like this horse run and stop. This one run, but all of them are doing their thing together. And the whole thing now is that four horses are up on the human plane. And what were the horses? The spirit, the four spirits of the heaven. Now, what did we just read in Matthew? We read in Matthew that the angels or the spirits are going to gather together their people into bundles. Some will be gathering for fire, and some will be gathering for preservation. But there is a feverish gathering together going on in our time. Now, all right. So, hear what God says now about these two horses that went to Russia. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Then cried he upon me, and spake unto me, saying, Behold, these that go towards the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. That is what has happened. I mean, we are on the other side of this prophecy now. We're looking back and we're seeing what has happened and is happening. Now, so we go back to our revelation here and see if we can understand a little more about what it's saying. That his name that sat on him was death. Hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over one fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. That's man it's talking about. And when, yes. So we see that murder, destruction, and death would be the order of the day. Now, this was not possible until all these inventions which made it so easy to kill were invented. We find that, for instance, there is a phrase that Jesus said, which I'm going to read it in Matthew 24, Jesus showing that man would have the power to destroy life in the earth.
And this never happened until man discovered the power of the atom. And the first atomic bomb was blasted in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And we found out that at last man had reached to the very height of his power of destruction. But Jesus had said it in the scriptures long ago. So let's turn to Matthew 24 and see what Jesus said about this matter. Now, the first sign here in verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. He's speaking about your flight. He's speaking about your flight, and he's speaking about make sure that your flight, pray that your flight be not in the winter. And we generally think of this in the spiritual, and we said, well, there is going to be a winter, your spiritually winter, the time when your heart is not so right with God, the time when you're cold, the time when it seems that things are kind of low, you know, spiritually speaking. Said, pray that it won't catch you on a low time. But then, have you ever thought of it? It's like what's happening to the people in Vietnam tonight. It's like what's happening to the people, they happen to the people in China, and in all these different places where an army attacked your city. And it is winter. What would happen tonight to you and your little children out in the cold? Of course, you know, the word is dimensional. As you know, I preach a dimensional word. But God has warned me, in preaching a dimensional word, never forget the first dimension, which is natural. And the second dimension, spiritual. And the third dimension, the fullness of the word. You see? So in preaching a spiritual word, I must not neutralize the natural word. For it might happen. What I mean, it might happen. Nations and whole nations of people have been turned out of their houses overnight. I don't know if you know a young lady by the name of Siggy. Has Siggy ever come here? She's a German girl, and she speaks of what happened in Germany. You know, they were turned out of their houses and marched. They had to march across some long distance to save their lives. And those who were carrying their goods and loved the little vase and loaded with things, they died on there. And then they begin to slow down the march, they just shot them. They couldn't allow them to stop the others from going up. And I'm not saying that is going to happen. But I'm saying that worse even may happen. So I'm not giving you any comfort on the point. I'm just saying that what I've seen in my vision, what God has shown me, is that the people don't want to face the truth. The people don't want to believe that can happen in their country. They don't want to be prepared. And the preparation that God wants you to have is a preparation in your mind where you'll have the mind of Christ and you won't be caught in that.
Praise God.
You follow what I mean? But if you don't have the mind of Christ, you're going to be caught in that. So for those who have no intention of being diligent with God, because one thing I know God won't do, God won't let you fall into anything like that without telling you. Mm-hmm. But after he tells you, If you don't do what he tells you, you're going to be in it. And he's not going to bother you anymore. He's going to just leave you till boom, all of a sudden. And so this is the situation I see that we are in, the fourth seal. We are in the fourth seal, and the worst is yet to come. Why then is it not so bad? I mean, you know, you read about things bad and you see things bad. You still have food and your comfortable homes, and God still gives. But there's a reason. Let's read Matthew 24, a little more of what Jesus said. But, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to that time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, we know, therefore, that the catastrophe that is described in this Bible here has not yet come. Follow what I mean? We know it's yet ahead, because these things happen in parts of the world, and it has never happened in a whole world at the same time. We know also that man has a potentiality in his arsenal to bring this to pass overnight in the whole world, 48 hours, and the whole world can be in this condition which the Bible describes. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Now, he said, and except those days should be shortened. Now, this is the reason why we're not having it back. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect sale, those days shall be shortened. The Bible said it would be 3.5 years. And somebody said, brother, this is our false prophet. Because you said that we have just passed over the midpoint, 3.5 years, and nothing has happened. God said for the elect, he was going to cut down the time. Amen. And so all the delays and all the plans that men had that never came to pass, and the delays, it's because God is holding him back. And I'm going to show you this holding back process. Alright? He says here, somebody asked this question, why is it there are so many false teachers? Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Therefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. Here we are seeing a situation that God is saying that there will be many false Christs around, and I don't know if you'd want to see more, but John, I have seen so much, and so many people propounded the gospel. A false Christ don't have to come and say, I am Christ, but he comes and says, follow me. Yeah, he said to follow him. And God said, there's only one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. And any man that puts up himself as a leader for you to follow him and say he's taking you to heaven, he is putting himself in the place of Christ. No matter how small, there are some big false ones and some little false ones. Okay, let's go again. We see here, you want to have a description of this situation here that we just read here about great tribulation, except those days should be shortened. Let's turn back to Daniel 12. Verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. A time of trouble, such as there never was since the beginning of time, and never will be again, but up to that time.
nation and kingdom against kingdom. You know, there shall be great earthquakes in divers places and so on. And this is the situation Jesus gave. Now, if you said, brother, this is, you're really frightening us, you're an alarmist, then you're saying that of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said more than I am saying here tonight on the subject. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go on. Because if there was no hope, there would be no reason to preach. You see what I mean? So let's turn around to Revelation 7. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Look there. Four spirits of the heavens. Those are the four angels that are standing on the four corners of the earth. Follow me? Good. Let's see now. Matthew 13 called them angels. And angels will go forth gathering men into bundles. Then Zechariah 6 said, four spirits of the heavens. Revelation 6 says the four horsemen. Right? Okay. So we see them called by three different names now. You see, by three different names: angels, horsemen, and spirit of the heavens. Okay. Now, what are we talking about? We are talking about four spirits that are influencing the soul of humanity. Good. Now, let's see now. Why is it God said they were standing on the four corners of the earth, and when you know that a round earth cannot have four corners? One, two, three, four. You know what this earth is called? Your soul. And these angels are affecting man's mind, affecting man's emotions, affecting man's will, and affecting man's desire. These are the four corners of the earth on which the angels have their feet. They are standing on top of it, meaning to say they are governing it, they are ruling it, they are conquering it. Can you see what I'm saying? These four angels, these four spirits, these four influences are influencing humanity. Okay? Where did man get the atom bomb? The big brain. Mind. The physicists got down there and they dug down until they found it. Man could have had the atom bomb and not have the will to use it, because that's what's happening right now. They have horror upon horror stored away in the arsenals and they don't have the will to use it. Amen. But the angel that governs the will is going to move. Man's emotions have got to reach a point where a man like Truman had to be in position wherein he could make a decision to drop the atom bomb on Japan. Many times I wondered, why did the United States drop the atom bomb on Japan when the enemy was Germany? Never get that answer. Of course, there was a terrible, terrible debt to pay Japan for what she did at Pearl Harbor. But it was emotionally. It was just the emotion of the American people that caused them to drop the atom bomb on Japan instead of on Germany. Because the emotions of the American people that caused them to do it. Because so many Germans were in the United States. Part of the United States. Anyhow, this happened. And they had, their emotions had to come in. And what did they desire? That spirit that governed the desires of man had to give man a desire to be fulfilled. Could have been revenge. But of course, that's not good to say. But there was a debt to pay Japan for what she did at Pearl Harbor, that sneak attack. It galled every American. It was a bitter, bitter, bitter thing through the whole world. And that was the payment that they received. But if you understand what I'm saying, now, here is four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. And listen to what happened here. Now. I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. This is a good angel now. Having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Earth means carnal man, sea means nations. And to hurt the nations, saying, hurt not the earth, hurt not the carnal man, neither the nations, neither the Christians, the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. So this is what's going on. God is sending a message to you, and if you don't receive it, you're going to be hurt with the earth, with the carnal man. Amen. Until we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. The four horsemen, the four spirits of the heavens, the four angels gathering their people together. Okay, now you said, well, Brother Sill said, hurt not the earth, neither the trees. Is this found anywhere else in the Bible? Is this found anywhere else in the Bible? Who is it then? I would like to know, who is this fifth angel? First of all, where was the fifth angel coming from? He was coming from a rising out of the earth. He was ascending, not descending. Angels generally come down, but this angel was coming up. That means God is arising a ministry in the earth, a messenger from the earth, coming out of the east, which is where the sun comes from. Jesus coming out of the light, coming out of the mind of Christ. See, from the east, from the mind of Christ, bringing a message of life. Hold back till I finish sealing the people of God in their forehead. This is what I'm saying. If you don't get sealed, then you're going to be in trouble. Let's check out again with the Bible. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 9. I want to give you a long time to question me tonight, you see? So I'm going to cut off presently. Let me just get you two more scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 9. And here we see a story of six men ready to destroy the earth. And the seventh man came along and said, don't destroy till I have marked the people of God. We are in their forest. That's your mind. That's your mind. You're receiving the message of God in your mind, and it goes down into your heart. So here is another case of God saying, don't hurt. Now this time it was six men. And you know what that means? That the destruction that is coming on the earth is coming from man. Six is the number of man. Seven is the number of God's perfect order and perfect will. And this man, this angel, this messenger, this seventh messenger is in the perfect will of God, bringing a word of life to deliver the people out of the destruction. Brethren, I tell you, if I don't give you this message, I feel like I commit murder. Because I know what's going to happen. I've seen it. I've seen it in vision often, many, many, many times. And I know it's going to happen as sure as we're sitting here tonight. As a matter of fact, that's the reason God sent me here. 20 years ago, God said, I want you to go to the United States with a message before the United States is destroyed. Of course, it doesn't matter if you don't think it's going to be destroyed. Bless God, I wish you're right. I would rather to the wrong than to the right in a case like this. But then if you're not right, that's where the problem is.
Well, so here we see it again. We're going to turn to another chapter and look at another thing where God shows that turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we see the whole picture laid out here again. He said, let no man deceive you that Jesus Christ is coming now. But let no man deceive you by any means, for the day that shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Verse 3, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposed and exalted himself above that is called God, or that is worshipped so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. This here says the exact thing that the 15th verse and chapter 24 of Matthew say by Jesus. He said, your sign is when you see the man of sin come forth. Now what is this man of sin? You must understand that this man of sin is the nature of rebellion coming forth in humanity, so that it will come forth in special people even more than others, and coming forth in the church, rebellion against God. Now if your church hasn't rebelled against God, please tell me, I'd like to go there. If you have a church that you know, a church that is walking according to the will of God, please tell me, let me go there. Because I don't know one. I've been in churches for 27 years and I realize that the church system is a backslidden system, a system that will not follow God, a system that will not walk according to the Holy Ghost, a system that is against God. I prefer to go preach to sinners. Amen. And I don't preach people into the church. I'm preaching people out of the church system. Because to me, I know that the church is right in here. You are, God said to the woman at the well, he said, the day cometh and the day is right now when the true worshippers shall not worship God in those buildings, but in spirit and in truth. Brother and sister, if you worship God in spirit and in truth, you don't need that organization down the road that are telling you, you must come every Sunday and pay someone to them. Because it's a commercial system and I just despise it. Believe you me, I've been in it too long. It's a commercial system. God Almighty is getting himself a people who will not again start a church. Dave, if you're going to start a church, I'm not with you. Because I know you're not going to. Amen. It's no more of this church business that we've been in. Jesus Christ is now the pastor. He is now the leader. The ministry that is in you will come forth when you come together with the people of God and you give forth what God's saying to you. And this is how God's people are going to be blessed. That the pastor, the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, everybody going to come together on equal basis, and God will bring forth the ministry of God that is in you, and you'll bless the people and you'll feel blessed because somebody else will bless you. But it's not anymore going to have a big bishop over there. You know why? God said there is no mediator, no middleman. You know what's killing our country? Middlemen.
Amen.
You know why the goods so expensive that you buy down the street? Middleman. One man buy it from the other, buy it from sell it, and the other sell, keep selling. By the time it comes to you, it's 3-4 times of what it costs. And God said there's no mediator, no middleman between God and man, save the man Christ Jesus. Amen. If you come to me with your troubles, I'll lead you to Christ. Jesus Christ is going to help you. And this is the way the ministry, this is what we have a ministry for. The ministry should be pointing the people to Christ, by bringing the people unto themselves. I lay hands on you, and you have to wait till I come to lay hands. Because you won't be healed unless your brother so-and-so lay hands on you. You are denying Jesus, because Jesus is right here. And Jesus was there before the brother came. And you wait all year for a certain evangelist to come to town to lay hands on you, to prophesy over you, and you had Jesus the whole year. You disgrace Jesus. You don't believe him. You'll believe the brother more than Jesus. And God let them work. God let it work. You know why? Because you have faith in that. God let it work. But the time is coming. Darkness must pass away. And people must walk in light. Stop looking to man and look to God. Yeah. We're going to help one another because Christ is in us. The Christ in me, help the Christ in you and help you. Glory to God. Amen. But that middleman, that mediator, that people are putting up everybody as a king, they want this man to be their governor, to be their leader. It's wrong. We are all walking together in the Lord. And I give you what I have. You give me what you have. And we come together and we sit down and we give each other. And there's going to be a great spirit of blessing in this place. And deliverance too. And you won't be able to go around and say, well, the big pastor delivered me. You don't know who delivered you when you get out there and find yourself healed from your sickness. Because the whole body just cry to God together and you get delivered. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. So there now. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all is called God. And has worshipped so that he as God sitteth where? In the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. I want to read verse 6. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now holding him back will continue holding until the evil one breaks forth in the midst of the church. That's what it's saying there. So there is a holding back. What's holding back? The ministry and the work that is not yet finished and done in you. God's giving you some more time. God's giving you some more time that you may be sealed, that you might sit down at the wedding feast, and that you might feed until spiritually you're strong enough to face the devil. Amen. That's what God's saying. I'm going to read one more scripture and then close. Just to bear that point out. Turn to Daniel chapter 7, and I'll show you there that the church will be beaten until Christ come forth in us. This is our deliverance, the coming forth of Christ in us. Verse 21, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. See what I mean? So the devil will only beat you until you get Christ in you and come forth in Christ. And God is saying to you tonight that you need more power to stand what is coming. God said to me, tell the people to get out of the cities. I turned around and said, God, why? Can't you protect them anywhere they are? Aren't you God? God said, the people are not ready for what's coming. God bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm learning to be short. Yes.
What is the abomination of desolation spoken of by prophet?
Daniel the prophet. All right. The word abomination is a sin so horrible that God don't call it sin, he calls it abomination. It revolts against God. And desolation means destruction. Well, in Daniel, God said that there is a sin that was committed by humanity that is going to destroy the world. And this sin, if you trace it back, is rebellion. And the word rebellion comes from the word Baal, Baal worship of Babylon. So rebel has a relationship to war. Bellum in the Latin means war, and bellicose mean warlike, and belligerent. Belligerent is another word with bell in it, war. So you see, this thing, rebellion against God, is the worst sin that man can commit. Because he said, I do not want God to reign over me. This is what the Israelites said in the time of Samuel. They said, we don't want God to reign over us. So they want God. When they're ready for God, they call him, oh God, come defend us. We're in battle, fight for us. But don't reign over us. Don't be our boss. This is the rebellion. And this is what it has caused man to reach the point he's reaching now. Because he don't want God to reign over him. He wants to have his own way. So that's the abomination. And this abomination, this symbol of rebellion, is going to be in a government, in a church, and in a man. And a man will head all three of these: the government, the church system, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the head of the world system will be a man. And they'll be called the beasts. See? It's actually three beasts. Amen.
Then the Antichrist will not be the head of the world system. They are three different people.
Well, there is the beast, mm-hmm. and there is the Antichrist, and there is a false prophet. Mm-hmm. You see? Mm-hmm. And the one part in Revelation described them as three. He said, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, and out of the mouth of the Antichrist, came forth an evil spirit like a frog, and went all over the world. You see, so there are three men who are going to be at the head of the system. One will be the head of the church, and the church was exemplified in the 13th chapter of Revelation as having two horns. That means two parts of the church will come together, both the Catholic and the Protestant. Two power, two horns under one head. And that's the symbol that we see in the so the backslidden church, the church, the Delilah church, the Jezebel church, the backslide from God, is going to join with the world and then riding on top of the beast, having a good time.
What do you mean when you said you were talking about the 3.5 years? You said it was going to be short, and there's something I didn't catch that.
Yeah, well, you see, normally we believe, now this is not a very strong thought in the Bible, and it is a conjecture mostly, but normally we believe that the tribulation is going to be 7 years. The great tribulation is going to be 7 years. But the scripture shows that the great horror will be the last 3.5 years. And so that's what I mean by 3.5 years. When the worst, wickedest thing is supposed to happen. But God said he's going to shorten it. So I suspect that God has cut down even the 3.5 years so that the thing will be just horrible and short. For instance, ask your question now. According to the horror weapons that we have, if the world must survive an atomic war, how long do you think an atomic war could last?
Not very long.
Maybe just days.
Let's just say some place that the diesel had power for an hour.
Yes. Yeah, it said, yes, it said, some, those will give their power to the beast, and they shall have power with the beast for an for a year, a month, and, well, I don't remember, but it said something about an hour with the beast, have power for an hour with the beast, and that hour must be symbolic of time, some measure of time that we don't really get. You'd have to get it from the Spirit.
In Revelation 9, it talks about the fifth angel that has the key to open the bottom of the pit, and the smoke rises up, and the locusts come, and they have the power to torment anyone that doesn't have the mark for 5 months. What does that mean? Is that...
That chapter, Revelation 9, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of describing the details of the horrors that will come forth during the tribulation.
What do you mean by the bottom of the pit?
Well, any pit, to be a pit, it must have a bottom. Or it's not a pit. So if it is a bottomless pit, it's a word that's trying to say something to you. You see, that this must be a realm a frequency where the devils dwell. So God is going to allow these devils to come out that had never been out before. That they were so horrible that they had to be chained. You see, and so God's going to allow them to come forth to do their thing in the last day.
So they're the locusts.
Well, I don't know, sister, to tell you the truth. I just can't tell you. I've heard so many things about the locusts. Some people see them as men. I've known sisters who had visions of seeing these locusts come down, and they were men. And they were just licking people's bones clean. I mean, they were just tearing people apart. And I do believe, in my own mind, and not that I hear this from the Lord now, you see, but if you want an idea, I give you an idea that's in my mind, that these locusts will be part of a revolutionary gang that will just roam the country wild and really hurt people and tear up people and do damage. One sister says she saw them as hippies giving people the needle. You know, I just don't have that privilege. Yes.
In 1 Thessalonians 4 and 17, well, we start with like 16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, I'm assuming now, this is one scripture that's sometimes used for the rapture. I'm assuming now that this happens after, of course, the tribulation. Does it mean the actual air there, or is the air symbolic of something else, sir?
Well, the chapter explains itself. The chapter explains itself. Because it said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And if we're going to reign and rule with the Lord down here, we couldn't be up in the air. So the air must be down here.
Okay.
And that air is translated atmosphere. We will meet the Lord in this atmosphere. We'll be lifted up, caught up spiritually to meet the Lord in this atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Not out of space, in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So those who are preaching that they're going to blast off and leave the earth, you see, they're not preaching right. Because it says we shall meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Lord is coming down, he's not going up. The Lord is coming down here to reign and rule here. So where would we be going at that time after the tribulation?
And the cloud's going to be a cloud of witnesses, or
the cloud is the same cloud that took him away. It wasn't a rain cloud. It was a spiritual cloud of
of angels that just came around him and he disappeared. And he was coming back with the 10,000 of his saints, the Bible says. That's the cloud. It's not hard or difficult if you just pray about it and read all.